Welcome, friends. This is Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. It is my joy to come to you today welcoming a very special guest here for a very special interview. I'm talking with Stephen Lee, who is the founder of SermonAudio.com. Welcome, Stephen.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's so nice to be with you here today.
You know, Stephen and I were just chatting about the fact Sermon Audio goes back to the year 2000. I remember when I first heard of it, it was in 2002. And it was just a year later that in God's providence and wonderful grace, I was able to assist Dr. John Whitcomb in helping him get his page started on Sermon Audio. That's still going, although he's with the Lord, but the page continues. He being dead still speaks, and just passed a million sermon downloads on Sermon Audio recently, Stephen, and it's been my great privilege to have my page in my ministry with the Friends of Israel for just over 2 years now. So thank you so much for all your work. Could you just give us a little background and context, first of all, about Sermon Audio and how God led you into this incredibly strategic ministry?
Sure, absolutely. Basically, this was back in 2000. I went to Bob Jones University in 90. I graduated in 95, computer science major. And the Lord has always been giving me a great love and desire for preaching. I actually wanted to go into the ministry sometime after I graduated, but the Lord had other plans for me. But I had a love for preaching. I would listen to sermons in cassettes. I would have boxes of cassettes that I would just wear out these cassettes listening to sermons over and over again. And being a computer science major and being in the computer trade for my entire life, I thought it might be nice to be able to create a website where these sermons were aired. They weren't just sitting in my box, but they could be enjoyed by other people. So Sermon Audio was born in 2000, largely out of that burden and the burden to get the preaching of my former pastor, Dr. Alan Cairns, to a wider audience. I go to the Free Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, South Carolina. And it's not a big church, never has been a big church, but we have some of the greatest preaching, I think. And it's always been a little bit of a sad thing for me to come into contact with churches that are very fine churches, very faithful churches, but they minister to smaller congregations, and they don't get the chance, if I can put it that way, to reach the multitudes. Well, back then, audio, streaming audio was a novelty. It was rather new. If you remember, people in that time, there was some competing audio streaming formats. Real audio was the dominant one. MP3s just came on the scene. We went with MP3s. By the grace of God, we made the right decision, I think. And the rest is history.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. Again, I just can't imagine any greater type of ministry opportunity than what you've given to churches and various ministries all around the world. We thank you so much for that. I know that you have, perhaps other than your founding, the greatest undertaking that you've ever attempted is right in front of you right now. And I wonder if you could speak about that. And I'll just give you the open mic here to share from your heart about this project you call The Vault at Bob Jones University.
Sure. I'll try to keep this succinct, but basically, for people that want to know more about it, they just need to go to sermonaudio.com/vault.
But the idea is V-A-U-L-T, right?
V-A-U-L-T, that's correct. Some years ago, just been looking over the landscape, and more our technology has grown and advanced to such a stage, like everybody else who's in the tech business, where we are depending on what are called cloud services. And these are services that are run by big organizations typically, and they are machines that run in data centers, and they're managed by organizations like Google or Microsoft or Amazon, and they just make life easier for people in my line of work, where you don't have to mess with hard drives and physical machines like we were doing for the first decade and a half of our existence. We would have these racks of servers, racks of hard drives, and we would have to manage it all ourselves. And believe it or not, it wasn't very pretty sometimes. Like, for example, I would be running these. Yes, it was way back when, but I'd be running these machines out of my basement, essentially, in my home. And so we had to bring in a little extra power and a little extra cooling. But if we had a bad ice storm and the power went out, we had to run the generator, and we didn't have an automatic, you know, house generator. We had to run it like by hand with and pour gasoline in it while it was running because we didn't want it to stop.
Interesting.
And yeah. And we had to do that for like 5 full days. And I was just thinking,
wow,
Sermon Audio is being run by gasoline right now. And so
who knew?
Yeah, nobody knew. But you know, moving into the cloud was actually a good thing for a lot of companies, and they found the convenience of it. By the way, whenever you do offload infrastructure, it is very convenient and it is very easy. This is not just for the computer business. It's for any industry. We're seeing energy being offloaded to other countries. We're seeing food. We're seeing manufacturing, all that being offloaded to other countries. That's another thing. But technology is the same way. People don't want the hassle of running things themselves, and so we've all moved into the cloud. The problem with that, as you can see, is that with any other infrastructure, is that you become beholden to the one running the infrastructure. And so we're running into problems right now with our entire nation, with energy and with manufacturing, and it's going to be a problem. Well, it's also the case with technology, I think, because you have these companies that are very large companies, but and it's no mystery, it's no secret that they are left-leaning companies. They have a very progressive mindset, and they're not neutral. They are not neutral. And so we, along with probably every other ministry that's sizable, has machinery in the cloud. And so what that means, essentially, is that, and we've seen this demonstrated, so this is not theory anymore. What that means is that these companies, if they feel like your business or your message or whatever your activity is running on their machines is causing any kind of quote unquote mental distress or you know, anything of that nature that they can say, they have the right then to just turn you off because it's a violation of terms. Well, that's a very broad thing because most things that are of a conservative message could fall under that category. Now, we're not seeing it wholesale, but we are seeing bits and pieces of it. The biggest example of that was with President Trump. As we all know, he got canceled on all the major platforms. And then, of course, you have Parler, which was kind of a Twitter-like website that got canceled on the cloud infrastructures. And it was very difficult for them to find a cloud provider that would be friendly to them. So all that being said, not to make ourselves intentionally a target, but we're in the sermon business, and we have 2 million plus sermons on our site. And if people are crying about offenses, to me the Bible is a book that's, I mean, you just pick a page in there. There's things that will offend people, and we have people preaching faithfully out of the Word of God. We're not talking about things that are pushing the envelope or like fringe things out there that we can all debate on. We're talking about God made a man and a woman, you know, male and female made he them. And so things like that will get people in trouble. The only answer, and it's not something that we're particularly excited about, to be honest, but the only answer is to create our own infrastructure. the only answer. We have to have our own machines. We have to have our own processes, our own hard drives, our own connectivity, our own redundancy, all of that. Now, we've spent a lot of years relying on these big players to do it for us. And so it's really hard to build from scratch. But I feel like there's a need for us to take a step. And that's what we're doing with The Vault. It's a partnership alongside Bob Jones University in the sense that like all the technology will still be ours and Sermon Audio. But BJU, this is my alma mater, and Bob Jones University, they're here in town with us. They have a wonderful computer science department. They have space in their facilities, and we need space. We need secure space. And they have students. They have computer science students. And so it takes all of this. It's not just that we need to have a place to put servers, because sometimes people will say, hey, I have a basement. You can just stick them there. It's really not about that. It's about the space, yes, a secure space, of course, but it's also about perpetuity. How do we keep this thing going beyond me, beyond our team? How do we train people? How do we plant ourselves alongside a stream of new talent all the time? To me, that's an academic institution. So it's all of those pieces, and we want to use what we're doing at Sermon Audio to minister to these young technical people, their students. Typically what happens is these students get an education, they go out there and they work for a big tech company. Well, why not see if they have an interest in using their wonderful skills in the kingdom? And so if we can work alongside them for 4 years, if we can be an influence on them, if we can pray with them, if they can see what we're doing, if we can mentor them, then maybe there will be more that we can do than just having this physical space. We can influence lives. So that is what we are seeking to do.
Stephen, I'm just so appreciative of all of that. And I just hope that people will take seriously how vitally important this is. I know that you could probably share from your heart on this matter and share statistics and all kinds of relevant facts for quite a while. But if people want to keep up with you, tell them again where they can go to find more about The Vault.
Sure. We have a page set up. It's a very simple page, easy to read. It's called sermonaudio.com/vault. And there's a video there. It's a talk. It's about a 20-minute talk that I gave at our conference just a little while ago that summarizes the need for what we're doing here.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we're going to keep moving along to just a few very key topics, and they all sort of fit together, and they all sort of fit with what you've already mentioned. The next one is indeed cybersecurity, and I know, and this is totally out of my realm, Stephen. I know it's where you live every day, and the front line for all of us who are here on Sermon Audio. And recently Sermon Audio did suffer some type of a hack, and you wrote about that. So, I wonder if you can just share a little bit about, how you're bouncing back from all of that. And how this maybe ties with what you've already told us.
Sure. Well, basically, about a month or a month and a half ago now, we suffered a cyber attack. We were hit pretty hard. But we were hit pretty hard in a portion of our infrastructure that we would consider more legacy. The site has grown to a stage now where it's somewhat sprawling. We have a lot of very newer infrastructure that's very, very secure. None of that got touched. Then we have aging legacy infrastructure, which is more difficult to just lock down. And that's the one that got hit. And that has done for us is that has actually greatly accelerated our move into the more modern architecture that we have. And people that are interested, you know, we could give information about what this architecture is. It's actually fascinating. In fact, what we hope to do when we get this space up and running at Bob Jones is to give these sort of tech talks, whether it's myself or our developers, just getting up in front of other developers or other interested people and just talking a little bit about the details of what we're doing without giving everything away, of course. But
sure, but
it is interesting, and I have to say that this whole exercise has been helpful for us on a number of fronts. Number one, it has kept us extremely grounded in humility. I think that's the most important thing, because you know what? We can start waxing eloquent about how great this is and how great that is. And I'm very proud of our guys, and we've done good work, I think, given the size of our team. We're a very small team. But I often will say that we have good work being done in house. And when you think about what we have to do, remember I talked about infrastructure, we're not using any other video platforms, so we're encoding and transmitting all the video ourselves, which is, you know, is not easy. Never mind the audio, we're doing the audio and the live streaming and the ability to multicast live stream to other platforms. All of that had to be built from the ground. We're not using any third-party tools for any of that stuff.
Wow.
And so, yes, I am proud in a good way of the work that our guys have done, and they work hard, and it usually goes unsung.
Yeah.
But it's very easy for us to get a little bit, not that we have, but I would say it would be easy for us to get a little bit heady about it and to think ourselves to be doing pretty good, and pride can enter in. I'm reminded of King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26. You know, he was marvelously helped until he was strong. This was a king that was godly. He was under the influence of Zechariah, and he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And it says he was marvelously helped till he was strong, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You see, I think it's very, very possible for not only ourselves, but any other ministry for that matter, to have a period here of humility and of trusting God and seeing God do great things and of growth and of a strengthening. And then the great danger for all of us is to have our hearts lifted up with pride to our destruction. And so this whole episode was very helpful because it keeps us very humble. It keeps us very humble because we did lose. We lost. We had that a loss, and it was extremely painful, very humbling, very unpleasant, and very stressful, and all of that. And it taught us a lot of things that week that we were working really, really hard around the clock, all of our guys. And it taught us that life is man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And that the Lord sometimes gives and the Lord sometimes takes away. And in all of our seasons, blessed be the name of the Lord. Not that we take a cavalier attitude towards these things, but it helps us to put things in perspective. Losing our testimony by getting upset is not worth it. You know, nothing is worth that, to lose our testimony. We just have to take it from the Lord, do our best, pick up the pieces, and keep moving forward. So it's been very helpful for that, but it's also been helpful, practically speaking, from the standpoint of accelerating the process of us moving to the newer architecture. And it has. It really has. And a lot of things that we had projected on a timeline down the road to be able to get to, well, those things that just got moved up to the top of the list, and we just started, getting some of those things done right quick. But, so that's been helpful, and we're in a much stronger place today in every way. Yes, technically, and we're still on a very good trajectory. The vault, all of that is going to be playing into a much stronger tomorrow for us.
Do you have a date, Stephen, that you're looking at yet as when all of the vault might be completed, or is it too early?
It is kind of early, but the vault is happening in a couple of different stages, which people probably may be getting confused about. There is a renovation piece that is happening right now, which is basically taking a part of the university library and renovating it. It's okay. An aging building, and so we had to, you know, rip out a lot of things and now install a lot of things. And that goes all the way down to the core, like HVAC, electrical, all of that. And so that is being done right now, and that is due to be finished by summer of this year. That's 2022. Okay. So we're hoping that will be completed by summer. Now, the other component, the bigger component, is the actual equipment. And that is the component where we're trying to raise the funds. Mm-hmm. And that will be finished as fast as we have the funds to acquire the equipment.
And you are trying to raise?
We are actually trying to raise $1 million.
Okay.
And that's that will be explained a little bit in more detail. I plan on doing a little write-up on that. But those are the quotes that we're getting to do what we need to have done using our own equipment without depending on the cloud.
Just to replace dependence on third-party cloud providers, et cetera.
To replace dependence on those providers. Now, it doesn't mean we'll completely not use them, but we won't depend on them anymore.
Okay. All right.
So I think it's important for us to have redundancy, because people will be asking all the time, well, if you put all your eggs in this vault basket, isn't that creating a vulnerability there? Yes, sure it is. We aren't putting all of our eggs there. It's going to be our strongest leg of multi-legs. And so we will have redundancy across data centers. But this will protect us from becoming canceled. That's what it will protect us from.
That's good to know, and you've hit on a key word there that we want to conclude on. Just before we talk about cancel culture, though, Stephen, I wonder if you could speak about the changes that the pandemic, again, another area where we might say, you know, man meant it for evil, but God used it for good. And I'm just curious if you could speak about how many, like myself, who joined during the shutdown, I had hoped and intended to move on to Sermon Audio for an online ministry, but that certainly expedited it. And I'm sure that was the case for many churches and ministries. Can you talk about that and about the growth that you've had over the last 2 years in light of that?
Sure. Yes, I would say that this whole pandemic, there's a lot that we can say that's negative about it, but obviously I think that what's happening is that churches and ministries are seizing upon this tool to get the gospel out far and wide. They're seizing upon the tool whereas maybe previously they were sitting on the fence, or they didn't see it as important. It was sort of a secondary or side thing, but they are seeing that this is, well, for a period there, it was the only way of reaching people for a while. And then now that they have got over that hump of getting acclimated with the technology, they can see this as, wow, this is actually very useful. So yes, we've had a number of churches that have come on board, like yourself, to broadcast with us, and they're finding it to be a wonderful tool. And so it has introduced them to something. But I also think that it has introduced, and I find this interesting to watch on the site, I think it has introduced these churches, especially the smaller ones, because the bigger ones have been doing this. But the smaller ones, it has introduced them to experimenting with more content. Yes, they're still preaching their Sunday messages, and we don't want to minimize the regular means of grace. We don't want to minimize that. But they are now putting out podcasts. They're now putting out videos, short videos that people can consume. They're understanding that people like to listen to content, and they're putting a little bit more polish into their content. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to observe, and we'll just continue to watch with interest.
Stephen, I know we can't predict the future, but this is just speaking for myself and my own opinion. I don't think it's a matter of if we're going to have another disruption of some kind. And I'm not sure where it will be coming from, but as we look at the world around us, it seems almost inevitable to me. It's a matter of when that's going to happen. And I would like to think that I am more ready now, more poised for that next season of disruption. Have you, are you hearing anyone talking that way? What are your thoughts on preparing for ministry in these uncertain times, these perilous times? And how could a church or a ministry maybe do other than, like you just said, putting more polish and trying to prepare some content in a better way? What other thoughts would you have about any of those things?
Okay. Well, some scattered thoughts maybe. I think that before the pandemic hit us, and certainly before the lockdowns hit, we didn't have a very clear appreciation maybe for the local assembly of God's people. I think that that has heightened. At least that has come into the forefront of our conversation and debate and all that. But it certainly has made us a lot more appreciative of the gathering together of God's people. Mm-hmm. So that has become a lot more well-defined in people's minds and what they believe, where their convictions lie. So there's that. I think that's always a helpful thing. But as far as the actual technology goes, yes, it has gotten people aware of, look, there are other ways and good, very good ways that we can be using these tools for our advantage. And I think that, yeah, I think that the pandemic served that purpose. I think that we have to be careful not to fear monger, but I think that something like this that we have just witnessed, I think it would be naive to think that it's just sort of this blip that happened and we'll just continue on the way we've always continued on. I think this is something of a test with the powers that be. That's just my opinion. And I think that leaders around the world, wherever they are, have gotten a taste for power like they've never had before. And it's going to be really hard for them just to say, well, that was nice for the few years that we had it, and let's just move on to the way it used to be.
Yeah.
I think that what they're finding, what we're all finding, is that people are very easily controlled, you know, and it's kind of alarming, I suppose, in one sense. But I think Christians have to be like those that are awake. We can't be people that are just putting our heads in the sand and just assuming that there is no Satan, there is no prince of the power of the air, there is no agenda that is being driven. I think that that's very naive. But this is the reason, partially the reason why we are doing the vault, is because, I mean, imagine a day when you don't even have the technical platforms to get your message out, and there are these restrictions. I think that that would be horribly paralyzing for the church to not have a voice. We've never experienced that.
Right,
but
right.
You look at someone like Trump. Just look at Trump. Look at the great loss he experienced in not having a platform to get his message out. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a website. He has a website, and he's been putting stuff out on the website, but nobody is really noticing. Nobody is listening. When he was in the stream of those platforms where people were just consuming things, he could reach people. When you lose platform, then you are voiceless. And if the church loses the platform of technology, yes, they have their own pulpit still, but they will not be able to reach the nations. And so we're in the business of trying to protect the voice of even the smallest church. The bigger ministries will always have protection. Like, they're working on their own solutions and so on. But nobody is working on a solution for the small church. And so that's where we come in.
Well, we sure thank you, Stephen. You're thinking ahead, planning ahead, I believe, on a macro level, if you will. I'm trying to do that on my micro level, but relying on you, as you just said, for the technical part. And we thank you for that. And I would like to encourage, especially, like you just said, smaller churches, and I speak in a lot of them, and trying to get them to think strategically further down the line in accord with what we've just said. And I thank you. I think you had some insightful comments about all of that. Well, Stephen, we're going to have to wrap this up, but I have to ask you just to close on this issue that we've kind of danced around, cancel culture and censorship. And a lot of us thought we would live our lives in America without dealing with that, but it has come to our doorstep, sadly. And as you said, we don't want to make ourselves a target. We don't want to provoke anything here in this conversation, but what can you tell us about the dangers of censorship from your perspective where you sit here as the founder of Sermon Audio?
Well, I can just speak from my own experience, and I certainly can't predict the future, but I mean, we have churches already telling us that they are having trouble with other platforms, and of course we're seeing that. You don't have to be the founder of Sermon Audio to know that, but you're seeing sermons being pulled off, you're seeing entire ministries being pulled off. We had one church in particular, they wrote us maybe, I want to say 8 months ago. They had 3,000 videos on Vimeo that were all pulled down without warning and without any recourse. And the offense was one video, and he was dealing with the subject of Islam. This is, if I named him, I won't name him, but if I named him, he's a very respected older gentleman, pastor. He's been in the ministry for decades, very good teacher, very sound, very conservative man, and they were just taken all down. So they've been now quickly trying to upload their content to Sermon Audio, but we're seeing this more and more here and there of churches that are suffering this sort of censorship. And why, I don't see how this could be a surprise to us, because I know of other individuals that are working in these types of companies, and they tell me that around their boardroom table, they have these conversations about how they are they are very unhappy with the fact that their machines are being used to push out a message that they do not agree with at all. And so if you have a leadership in a company that is all, let's say, very progressive leaning, and let's turn it around. Let's just say you have leadership in a Christian organization that's very conservative, and then you have, let's just say, a very progressive message being pushed out through their machines. We wouldn't like it either. And so it's, to me, it's obvious. If these companies are run by individuals that have a very sharp leaning bent towards progressive ideologies, then they're going to find ways to remove very offensive to them personally content. And we're not talking about content that they may just disagree with. They're talking about content that will hurt them personally. Like, they may have children that are trans or children that are homosexual, and then you have this content that comes out and says, you know, it's sin, and they are not going to stand for that. They're not going to let that happen on their watch. And so I just see this as a matter of time. I don't really see this as an if, but a when. And again, I am not the fear-mongering type, but I think it's prudent. If nothing else, it's prudent for us to take some steps to ensure that we retain our ability to communicate what may be offensive. We don't offend for the sake of offending, but when you start talking about sin and the fact that there's only one way to heaven, and that other ways are false, you're going to offend people. There's no way around that. And so cancel culture is a real thing. It's happened politically. We're seeing that sort of in the headlines politically. But it's to me, it's just one small step away from it being a wholesale gospel issue. Anything in the Bible is going to be open game for this sort of cancel culture. So we're seeing it. Just we're having churches come and tell us about it. But you're seeing it all also in the news and on Twitter and different platforms. Right. And so this is just our way of preparing. It's just our way of preparing.
Well, we pray that there is yet time while we have this time and opportunity to still serve the Lord. And we pray for a reprieve on all those fronts and for I'm sure all of us have that heavy on our hearts, and we ought to add to the list near the top to be concerned and prayerful for what you're doing at Sermon Audio and for the construction and the completion of the vault. So we thank you, Stephen, for your time today. I want to thank you for being with me and taking time out of your busy schedule to talk about these things. I hope that that I will in some small way be of help to Sermon Audio to get the word out and to spread it as far as I can and let people know about all the good things you're doing. I want to thank you again for everything, not just the vault, but all you've been doing for these 22 years and continue to do, and may the Lord continue to strengthen and increase your ministry.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate that. There is one last thing that I want to add.
Sure.
Which is, it's not a footnote. It is actually a really important part of what we are doing. But around the time that the pandemic started, we started a prayer effort. And this was a burden that we had even before COVID hit us. And I just find it interesting that we announced this burden, this prayer effort in December of 2019, and COVID hit basically in February, March of the following year, 2020, so just a few months after. It's a prayer effort specifically praying for the revival of God's church and for the advancement of God's kingdom on earth. And we just take our cue from Jonathan Edwards and the revival that he saw in his day. And the cue is to have God's people gather together to pray together, to call on God for that outpouring of the Spirit. And this is something that we've started, like I said, even pre-COVID, but we've been continuing to this day. We meet together every day on Zoom, of all things. And so we meet together on Zoom, and we gather with saints, about 60 or 70 saints every day all around the world, to pray for that. Because, you know, as I don't have to tell you, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so we're very much aware of that, and we're making prayer a very big component in everything that we do.
Wonderful. And if people want to join that meeting,
they just go to sermonaudio.com/unitedprayer.
Okay. Stephen, we thank you so much again. Stephen Lee has been my guest today, founder of sermonaudio.com, for this special interview related to a series of columns I'm writing, following up from the pandemic and where are we now. Thank you so much, Stephen. God bless you, and thank you for being with me today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Paul Scharf.
Thank you so much. God bless you.